So welcome back to Pax Europiana, our debate about peace in Europe. And in this section, I will discuss now about specific EU days, European celebration days. And here it's exactly what we have to celebrate today on the, today it's not today actually, I'm protesting it now at the end of January, but it's the 4th of January, and that's the day to celebrate the Rose Revolution in Georgia and European Georgia. Isn't it fantastic? 4th of January 2004 was the day when the new president, Shakisvili, was voted into the office, won this clear victory, and since then Georgia has joined the free world and has developed so beautifully, so successfully, and so amazingly, and is now one of the most transparent countries in the world, and one of the countries with the best way of doing business internationally, and is really so transformed in these years. And that's the 4th of January, the 4th of January 2004. Obviously, the Rose Revolution itself has happened in January because of these falsified and fraudulent elections of the 3rd of January, then the protest movement until the 23rd of November, but then came obviously the new elections and then this amazing result of real geostrategic importantness to have a pro-Western new leader who is really actively reforming Georgia so successfully. And I'm actually very happy about this. And I think that should be also celebrated all over Europe in order, of course, to congratulate Georgia for their achievements to be a free market democracy after the reforms of the Rose Revolution that was achieved. And also to obviously have then a clear case for Georgia to be more famous in the European Union, because Georgia wants to join the EU, wants to join NATO, hopefully will adopt the euro soon. And so it's actually really fantastic. And we need to build a public consensus for European Georgia, because obviously should join in the 2020s NATO and the European Union. And so we should not only, that is the reason for the Georgians to celebrate, for the Europeans to prepare for membership, but also it's very important to always have in mind the enormous contributions which the Georgians and their protest and independence movement in the Soviet Union in 88, in 89, has contributed to the fall of the Soviet Union. And that was an evil empire, the Georgians, but also the Lithuanians and others, and there were a lot of protest movements. But the Georgians have a special place in the history of the fall of the Soviet Union. And alone for that, they should be in NATO and in EU. And we should shower them with gifts, because that's obviously, that was the great confrontation of the 20th century. The Cold War with the evil empire, Soviet Union. The Georgians brought it down. For this, they should be rewarded with a clear EU membership. Unfortunately, the European appeasers, and they don't want to provoke Russia, never provoke Russia, and they are always happy to sacrifice the people in between who are not in NATO and in EU for the altar of somehow appeasing the Russian bear. And that's what is very unfortunately, and that's my 20 years struggle to change that. If I will be successful, I think yes. If it will take some time, I hope not, but maybe. Let's see for that. But let's celebrate the 4th of January 2004. It is a special day in European history to have the first pro-European real reformer in Georgia in power, Mr. Shakishvili. Some don't like him, some like him. He is a great European leader in my views, there is no doubt. He is one of the personalities of the 21st centuries which have really contributed massively to the improvement of Georgia, and with it also to the world. He is a bit spectacular in some aspects. His time in Ukraine certainly was. Some might remember his grandstanding at the roof and his conflict with Poroshenko. Nevertheless, that's unfortunate. But what is the reality? His historic contribution is forever the period to remove Shevardnadze. Please, I want to remind you, Shevardnadze was the foreign minister of the Soviet Union. And that was an evil empire. He was with Gorbachev, one of these personalities who oversaw all these crackdowns in Georgia, in Lithuania, and he is responsible for the Soviet Union, because he was the former foreign minister. and he is not our friend. He was a weak leader of a hostile nation. That doesn't make him a friend. And also the way he governed Georgia was obviously leaving Georgia in the total poverty. I mean, Georgia was at $1,000 per GDP per capita at this time, and that is about the level of post-war Kosovo. I mean, just to give you a comparison, how poor you can get. This was really very poor situation. If you're interested, watch some videos of the Rose Revolution and you see how the people were dressed, how their faces looked. It was really very dramatic poverty under Shevardnadze and, of course, mismanagement, corruption, disaster. And I think the world is a much better place without such a corrupt post-Soviet kleptocracy. And obviously, we can celebrate the 4th of January. I think the EU should, and all Europeans actually, not only the EU, somewhere in the European Parliament, all Europeans to celebrate European Georgia. It's something very special. And to say thank you for the Georgians' contributions to the breakdown of the Soviet Union, and also for the Georgian contribution to the European project, because they really love it, they believe in it, and that's really good. And they want to join us, not like the British who want to run away. No, the Georgians love Europe and they love the EU and NATO, and we should not reject them. And that's unfortunately the current policy since 2004, because of Putin's appeasement and his claqueurs and supporters in some Western European capitals. So let's come to some of the context, and the history is very important to understand why this revolution happened. Yeah? Because the Putin narrative is only because of the Western influence. Yeah? No. This was a dramatic economic situation. Additionally, please don't forget, it was exactly the year when Putin started to take massively control of the private sector, of the energy sector, and this famous Yukos scandal, and basically stealing that company from their owner and from the shareholders. And obviously the Georgians, most of them speak Russian, they watch Russian television, and they saw what's going on. They understood the sign of the times. I mean, they are very much involved in Soviet history and in Soviet reality and in Russian reality, and they understood exactly who is doing what and why. And they understood it, and obviously they didn't like to be part of a re-emerging Russia and the Russian world, and that has certainly a big factor as well. And don't forget, also 2003 was the year where also, of course, America was liberating Iraq, and in April there was the amazing fast operation Desert, there was a Desert Iraqi Freedom, was this Iraqi Freedom, not Desert Storm, but you know, the speed and the swiftness of the American army going into Baghdad, that was of course also clearly seen by the world that here there is a very powerful nation, that America is basically at the apex of its power. It was before this kind of all the problems of Iraq, but it certainly has helped as well. And the situation, and that the American and the European model was obviously very attractive. Secondly, also see the context always of the fall of Milosevic, because obviously that resonated also. The people's protest in 2000, the 5th of October 2000, fall of Milosevic, the so-called bulldozer revolution. There were even some activists who also went to Georgia. So that's a really clearly a link that such a sclerotic, nationalistic regimes of the past, they can be, by organized revolution, they can be also removed. And that is also what happened in Georgia, and that's very good. But don't forget also, I think everybody in Georgia followed the dramatic events in Serbia when there was basically a counter-revolution, and the nationalistic extremists in Serbia and their supporters in the underworld, and they plotted to kill Zoran Cinčić in March, in 12th of March 2003. And that was certainly also in the media and in the mind of the Georgians, that they knew they have to really fight for democracy, because it's also under danger and there can be backslashes. And all this has led to this constellation where under dramatic circumstances. There's a lot of YouTube videos on the Rose Revolution if you want to take a look. It's quite of dramatic. And then there was really the new breakthrough moment on the 4th of January 2004 with a new pro-Western serious reformer, a non-Soviet personality, American educated, to take the power in this important state, in this very strategic location. Georgia is similar like Greece to some extent. It has a very strategic location above its basically fiscal capacity and economic capacity to manage it. And therefore, and these states are often invaded or controlled by outside empires. And that's also the history of Georgia to many extents. And so Georgia needs this protection of a Western alliance if it wants to be independent, because ultimately it will otherwise always fall back into the Russian Empire. And exactly that was also, that's the way also the Russians saw it. And the moment Saakashvili was in power, they worked consequently in various incidents and on the pipeline, treating Georgians in Russia very badly. And the whole period from 2004 on, they made the life of Saakashvili and the reforms as difficult as possible, and they really undermined the whole effort. And it's one of the great miracles of economic reform in the world that still these reforms work so well. You know, it is something amazing, because in all, there's not many countries who have managed to leapfrog in this famous Transparency International Anti-Corruption Perception Index. It is really amazing that Georgia is today at 46, and that's better than Italy. That's better, much better than Bulgaria at 74, Hungary at 70, and the Balkan countries, some of them are at 100, yeah, 110. Yeah, that's obviously pretty bad. But Montenegro, let's say, it's at 66. Yeah, and Georgia is at 46, yeah, by one being the best. Yeah, that's Singapore, Denmark, and these countries, and most European Union countries being somehow between 15 and 30 or so. That should be the target, to be in that level of position. But, you know, for Georgia to be better than 8 EU member countries, yeah, it's quite an amazing feast and achievement, and I just want to congratulate. And also when it comes to doing business, that is mainly macroeconomic regulatory support and red tape reduction for people and for business. That's really amazing. Georgia is always one of the best countries worldwide, and I think number 8 worldwide. Yeah. So this is all possible in just this short period of 4 years, because unfortunately then the Russians have plotted for war. And why they did it? Because the Georgians knew they needed their Western protection, and they obviously tried to gain it by joining NATO at the Bucharest summit. The French and the Germans have ganged up against George Bush, who was at the end of his second mandate, so they thought they can do that. And so the whole thing escalated from April to August, and then we had the August War, the Russian occupation of these two regions, and almost they went even further into Tbilisi. Who knows how far they would have gone if they were not stopped, luckily, by some there was also some French diplomacy, but ultimately they got what they wanted. They broke away these two regions completely and occupied them militarily ever since. And of course they should withdraw. But it has also to be said that both the control, especially of Abkhazia, of this Black Sea statelet in the north, in the northwest of Georgia, close to Russia, and the control of that one, the Georgians have already more or less lost in the 91-92 confrontation, and basically a civil war. And so there was a significant level of autonomy, if you want to say, or it was already a breakaway republic. So ultimately the problem is in the post-Soviet countries is in some ways that the territorial integrity is not so easy to be established because of the Stalin inheritance and the border mixing and redrawing. So it's very complicated. But the solution is not complicated, because it's very clear. Only free Georgia can join NATO, And all these statelets, which either are occupied by Russia or backed by Russia, like Transnistria, it's so clear what is happening with them. And once Russia withdraws, they have to be handed over to the United Nations. That's the logical thing. And after 5 to 10 years, depending, there must be a referendum, either unity or independence. Yeah? And that's the way to do it. Yeah? And that's then the situation to be seen. It must be the consent of the governed established, the consent of the governed. I mean that the people in Abkhazia see, and in South Ossetia, they see their future in Georgia, because Georgia is so successful as a NATO member, as a EU member, is so prosperous because it has adopted the euro already, that the people of this Russian occupied, but also prior partly breakaway republic, understand that this is the shortcut way into the European Union via joining Georgia and unification. Georgia must make a federal offer, a federal system, to make them a decent offer, which they cannot resist, where all their rights and autonomies are respected. But obviously they have to see also the clarity of this opportunity to be in the European Union. We are 3 times richer than Russia is today on average. We hopefully will be much richer, but unfortunately Georgia is still just, you know, about half, maybe 45% of the prosperity of Russia. So still in the fragile border regions, which are breakaway or Russian occupied, it's a problem, because Russia is still, with all this oil and energy power per capita, relatively attractive compared to the rather poor Georgia and rather poor Ukraine. And here is my call for all who listen. Please adopt the euro. Please join the Western system completely. And first of all, adopt the euro, because that's much better. Anyhow, so celebrate the 4th of June, the 4th of January. That's a really great day. But we also have, and also the achievements of the Rose Revolutions, because in no way it should be seen negatively. Obviously, this war in many ways was unavoidable. Russia wanted to have it all the time, because they never were ready to allow Georgia to go to NATO and EU without a fight. So it happened, and the reality is like this, and it can be only overcome by joining NATO and the EU, and over time. The unity will be a result of time and of success of free Georgia in the West. And here comes my explanation. Also, we have to be critical. What didn't happen under Shakisvili? And that's basically two major problems. Yeah? He never fixed the currency recently. And the currency, must be attached, pegged to the euro. Of course, Shakisvili in all his life, he was much more American. And in the ex-Soviet world, there was obviously the dollar, the number one currency. But for example, the Lithuanians, the Estonians, the Bulgarians, the Bosnians, the Macedonians, they all around this time, before already, they didn't peg their currency to the dollar, or they have basically established and then directly changed over to the euro. And that was much better currency regime. Unfortunately, the Georgians and Shakishvili, he did neither of that. And he kept it flexible, because he's very much a market person. He really very much believes in the free market. That's totally fine. But what he has also a little bit inhaled is a little bit this anti-European kind of American conservative philosophy that in Europe we are not for the market. You know, that's, I don't know, that's my struggle since 20 years to explain that we have maybe a bit of a different philosophy when it comes to the market, but we are very much a market democracy. Yeah? And it's all totally slander to say the difference. Yeah? But that has led to serious consequences. Because he could have reformed also like Macedonia with a currency back and fully integrated in the Southeastern European structure. Georgia, or like Montenegro with adopting the euro, or like Bosnia, or like Bulgaria. But no, he went his own way, and he missed the opportunity to be part of the euro success story. And despite all his amazing reform success, because the currency has declined, has devaluated all the time, and not because of he was attracting a lot of foreign investment. In 2004 to 2008, there was a lot of enthusiasm. But obviously then came the war, and the war is really very bad news for foreign investors. So came the currency crisis, then came the 2008 currency crisis, came the devaluation, then came the 2000. 14 currency crisis, obviously, that was after Saakashvili, but it also has affected Georgia very much because of the whole war crisis with Ukraine. An investor who sits in New York or in Berlin or in Brussels or in Rome or wherever in Japan, when he sees war in Ukraine, it's quite okay. Yes, Georgia might not be affected if we are lucky, but it's a bit the whole region affected. And obviously, everybody went down. Then the ruble crisis was attached and the whole region went in another currency spin. And so we have the lari relatively from all Eastern Partnership. Eastern Partnership is the six countries east of the EU between Russia, the former ex-Soviet countries. And all these Eastern Partnership countries have gone in a tailspin and they are all devalued. The lari being the most stable one, but it also lost a third of the value. And so you build on that. That's like building on sand. The other thing is, and that's also my complete misunderstanding, I cannot understand why it never happened. Since 2017, it's my big topic, that Ukraine and Georgia, they join the Southeastern European organizations, which were created by the European Union and by America together after the Balkan Wars, basically on the G7 summit in Cologne in 1999 after the victory in the Kosovo War. And the same countries basically are in NATO with exception of Japan, but they have then decided at the summit where they were sitting together to create the Stability Pact for Southeastern Europe. And there all the countries then had the opportunity to join CEFTA, the Central European Free Trade Agreement, first the Stability Pact, and by 2008 and the Regional Cooperation Council. And all these wonderful organizations I have outlined in one specific section of this podcast, in podcast number, section number 3, where the old Southeastern European reform mechanisms are explained. But it never happened, you know. They never joined. Georgia is not in CEFTA. Georgia is not in RCC. Georgia is in none of them, but only the energy community, because later that was attached to the DCFTA treaty. And so Georgia is a little bit alone. It was an island of reform in a very complicated region. Never forget, there is this fight which recently escalated again between Armenia and between Azerbaijan. There is obviously Iran in the south, and there is Turkey with all these complications in the west of Georgia. And then there is this major superpower, Russia. Not at least nuclear superpower, but when you look from the Georgian perspective and you look north, obviously it's a superpower commercially and it's a very important country for Georgia. There's no doubt. So in that kind of context, Georgia is, and it never really attached itself and contributed to regional integration in Southeastern Europe, because it always, in a way, it was also Georgian arrogance, also of Saakashvili, who thinks he is a global leader. And he should only be in Washington, Berlin, and the world. But it's not exactly the position of Georgia in that one. Building alliances with Albania, with Macedonia, and also with Serbia, whereas Serbia is quite reluctant because they have had this backlash again in a more pro-Russian direction, unfortunately. But it would have been so more logical to join, and it is today still, it's not too late, Georgia, join CEFTA, Regional Cooperation Council, and all the organizations, the Adriatic Charter for NATO accession, and that's the backdoor into NATO, and that's where you build alliance partners and friends, and that's the way to do it. But that all didn't happen, and also Georgia, I made my own video on YouTube, actually, and I gave an interview for the NGO European Georgians. Thanks for this invitation. But the thing is, ultimately, to really adopt the euro, not just to back to the euro, but adopt it. Because then it makes it very clear where Georgian future is, and it really makes no kind of devaluation possible anymore. And also Russia will understand that knowledge, and the people of South Ossetia and Abkhazia will understand it. And that's basically the best thing which I think could happen, and so I call for that. Adopt the euro. So, nevertheless, the success of the Georgian reforms should be a role model for anybody in the Balkans, and it would be also on that side very positive contribution of Georgia to be in the Regional Cooperation Council, because your benchmark in internal macroeconomic rule of law administrative reforms is one of the best. But if you are very good, it's an obligation as well to give back. You can reform the countries of Southeastern Europe and help there. And you can learn also from them. There is a lot of very good examples as well. Georgia is not the only good country on reforms. There is Macedonia with a lot of progress in some sectors, and everybody can learn a little bit from each other. And it would also be the optimal platform to integrate Azerbaijan and also Armenia one day into these structures in order to have a better kind of a working framework for regional cooperation, because obviously Georgia is hurt by this very hostile situation all around in all directions. It's difficult, yeah. Of course, it's a toxic environment, the Southern Caucasus. So that's very important to soften this up, bring all these already working mechanisms of regional reconciliation towards the Caucasus. And we have that in the Balkans. We had so many wars. We have now all this reconciliation and progress of cooperation cross-border in all these mechanisms. And that's really working. So let's get in. And by the way, also Georgia recognize Kosovo, because if you are an ally, if you are with us, you should recognize Kosovo. We did it for a reason. We liberated and recognized Kosovo for a reason. So Georgia, please, that's not for... That would be very kind if you help us in that. And it's not the same with Abkhazia. It's not the same with North Ossetia. Don't let Russian propaganda dominate your Western integration agenda. And in fact, block your Western integration agenda, because you mix up one issue with the other. And then you somehow don't want to be involved because of the Kosovo issue. Then you some have also the solidarity issue with Serbian propaganda, which is very toxic, unfortunately, because that's much influence from Russia again. So I think it's also time, in the spirit of the 4th of January, for some kind of debate in Georgia, how you can do things better and really build stronger alliances inside the future accession, the already existing accession countries, in order that also Georgia gets this EU potential candidate status, which Kosovo and Bosnia have already, and all others are already candidate countries. And this kind of EU potential candidate status you can only get if you build a consensus in the member states and you need some friends. And that's absolutely what Croatia, for example, could be, what Slovenia could be, what Greece could be. But you have to build it more actively. You have to understand Europe better in order not just to go to Washington or to Berlin and talk with two people and then get it done. No, no, it's better. It's hard work and it has to be done. And the spirit of the 4th of January, I think, is the spirit to really have a new modesty, understand things can also go wrong. They can go right, but they can go wrong as well. So what is absolutely needed is to find a new kind of European consensus between the big parties in Georgia and build some kind of larger coalition government and join all the Southeastern European organizations and adopt the euro just like now in 2021 as a role model. And as you have led the debate in 2004 with the color revolutions and with the reform agenda with anti-corruption, now the currency must be the tool of fast-tracking the European future of your beautiful republic. And that's what I call for. That's the spirit of the 4th of January. Please go and adopt the euro in order to accelerate European Union and NATO membership of Georgia. That's my wish, that's my hope, that's my proposal. Please adopt the euro.